Okay, we're in Parakei and Hilchos Tanios, which is the last parak in this section. So this will be our goal to finish this today. And then we finish Hilchos Tanios. And this is probably the parak that's most familiar to people because the Rambam's going to discuss three things in this parak. The first thing is he's going to review what are considered to be the major fast days outside, obviously, of Yom Kippur. He's going to review them. The second thing, he's going to get into all the halachas of Tisha B'Av. And finally, the last few halachas deal with things we're supposed to do to remember the destruction of the temple. That's what basically he covers in Parakeh. So in Halacha Aleph, he says, Yisham yomim shekol Yisrael misana behem, mibnei atzaru she'iru behen, kedei le'orer halavavos v'liftoach darchei atshuva. So there's certain days that the Jewish people, and to be clear, this wasn't really a takana, rather it was a nihug. People took it upon themselves to have this practice, although you'll see its source does come from Zechariah, that they would fast on certain days to recall certain events that took place. There were tragedies, and the purpose of fasting is to awaken our hearts and open up the path to tshuva. And we'll use this to remember our the bad things we've done in the past. And to also remind ourselves that of how bad we are and how bad our forefathers were, which resembles the way we are today, and that's why all these bad things happened to us. Because by remembering these things, so what's going to happen? By remembering them, we're going to basically do tshuva. So that's the goal of these fast days. Halacha Beis, and what are they? Ve'elohen, Yom Shlishi B'Tishrei. So this is the day after the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is Shabo Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam, V'Nichves Gachalos Yisrael, Hanishar V'Sivev Lahasam Glusa. So what happened? So as we know, Gedalia, it's Tzom Gedalia. He was killed, and by him being killed, so the last remaining ember of Yahadus burnt out, and our gullus was complete. Asir b'Teves, the 10th of Teves, Shabo Samach Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar, Harasha Yushalayim, Ve'eviyah b'Matzar Matzok. So as you know, on the 10th of Teves, that's when Yushalayim fell under siege. V'Shivat Sar B'Tamuz, the 17th of Tamuz, Ve'chamisha Dvarim Yirabo. Now five things happened on the 17th of Tamuz. Nishtabru HaLuchos, that's when the first set of Luchos that Moshe brought down from Har Sinai were broken. U'Batal Tamid Bayis HaRishon, and the Korban Tamid stopping brought in the first base of Mikdash. The Hufka Yerushalayim b'Chorban Sheni, and the walls of Yerushalayim were breached by the second base of Mikdash. The Sarf Apostomos Harasha Satara, so Apostomos the Russia burnt the Torah, and he also Vehemit Salam Beichal, and an idol was placed inside the base of Mikdash. Lacha Kibol B'Tisha B'Av, this is the last of the four. The Chamisha Dvarim Yerubo, and five tragedies happened on that day. Nigzra Yisrael b'Midbar shel yichansu la'aretz. So that's the day when God said that Bnei Yisrael, the door Mitzrayim, would not enter Eretz Yisrael. The Charev Abayis Bereishon of Ashnia. You had both the first and second temples were destroyed. The Nilkada Ir Gedola. Now this is important. A big city was destroyed. Ubeisar Shema. It was called Beitar. The Hayuba Alpayim Vrivos Mitzrayim. There were thousands upon thousands of Jews who lived there. The Hayalahem Melech Gadol. Okay, and there was a great ruler, a great king of those people. V'diyomo kol Yisrael doli chachamim shu melech ha-mashiach. And people were convinced that this individual was the Mashiach. Of course, they were wrong. V'nafo b'yad goyim, v'nergo kulam v'haisat sar gadola k'mo chorban ha-mikdash. And it's a fascinating thing. The destruction of Beitar, along with Bar Kokhba and the rest of the Jews there, and the destruction of the city, was a tragedy equivalent to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Uboba yom amuchan lupranos, right? And on that day, this day that bad things happened to the Jewish people, charash tornus rufus, okay? Harasha mimachi edom esahechal, vesvivav. The kayem, because what it says in Yirmiyahu, tzion sarda techarash. So basically what happened? So the Yerushalayim, the site of the Beis HaMikdash, was plowed over to basically demonstrate the point that the Beis HaMikdash would not be rebuilt. So that's the fifth of the tragedies. Okay. Halacha Dalad, Verbas Yimeitzamos Elu, Harehin Mufurashim Mekabbalah. So we have a source for this in Nach. Okay. Kabbalah here means an interpretation of Nach, but there's a source for it in Nach. Because it says in Zechariah, Tzom Harvi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Ashri, Tzom Hasiri. So the fourth, which is referring to the month, the Tzom of the fourth month, the fifth, the seventh, and the tenth. Tzom Harvi, Zeh Shivas Har Batamos, Shu B'chodesh Harvi. Tzom Chamishi, Zeh Tishavav, Shu B'chodesh Chamishi. Tzom Ashri, Zeh Shlosh B'tishrei, Shu B'chodesh Ashri. And finally, Tzom Hasiri, Zeh Asar B'teves, Shu B'chodesh Ha'asiri. So we can actually point to Zechariah and say that is the source for these fast days. Okay, Alacha, hey. So now there's one other fast day that is a Minog Yisrael that's not included in the Gemara, no mention of it in the Gemara. And that's a Tainis Esther. So he says, "V'nagu kol Yisrael b'zmanim elu li'isanos b'shlosha asar ba'adar zeicha l'tainis shi'isanu b'mei Haman." So there's a Minog among the Jews in these days to fast in the 13th of Adar to recall the fast that was done during the times of Haman. Shenemar divrei hatzamos v'zakasam. Vimchal shlosha asar ba'adar lios b'shabes. If the 13th of Adar came out in the Shabbos, makdinu misanu mechamishi shu achadasar. You can push the fast back because it's really like a zecher fast. You could push it back to the 11th because remember you're not fasting to commemorate the date they fasted. Aval echa me'arba you may at some shachalios b'Shabbos, but all the other four fast days, right? Dochenos sol achar Shabbos. We push them to after Shabbos. Chalios be'erev Shabbos misanu be'erev Shabbos. And if they came out on erev Shabbos, we'd fast on Friday. Now, for all these fast days, we do not blow the trumpets. We don't say ne'ila either. Because they're not present saras, they're past saras. We lay in a certain laning in Shachar Semincha. So in all of them, we're allowed to eat and drink at night, except for Tisha B'Av. Okay? Notice, of course, other fast days, such as the Tainis of Bechorim, is not mentioned in the Rama. Okay, halacha vav. Now comes the halachas about Tisha B'Av. Mish yichnas av mimati mesimcha. So when the month of Av starts, so we diminish the amount of happiness we're engaged in. V'shabes shechal Tisha B'Av v'yos besocha. Asur l'saper u'lechabes v'lbosh klei meguhutz. Okay, so this is what Shavua shechal bo. I know the Ashkenazi practice is the 9 days. That's a later development. It was originally Shavua Shechalbo, so the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, right, you're not allowed to get a haircut or to do laundry or to wear pressed clothing. If you look like Pushtan, even if it's made out of linen, Achi Yavor Tainis, until the fast day passes. So I can't even take my clothes to the laundromat to be washed for after the Tainis. Ugvar Nogu Yisrael, notice a change in language, the custom became among the Jews, Shlo Lechol Basar B'Shabazu. Okay, and so the custom became that they would not eat meat or wine. Excuse me, they would not eat meat, okay, during this week, and they won't go to the bathhouse until the tainis is over. And there's some places that would stop doing shchita from Rosh Chodeshav until the fast day. There's your first intimation of an idea of the 9 days being something. Okay, Halacha Zion. Tisha B'Av lelo kiyoma l'chol davar. As we all know, that the restrictions, the chumras of Tisha B'Av start taking place at night. Ve'ein ochlin elav imbod yom, right? And you can only eat during the day prior to nighttime. Ubein hashmaso shelo aser kiyom kippurim. That's a common theme also, that the structure of Tisha B'Av was borrowed from Yom Kippur. So during after shkia, after sunset, you're not allowed to eat anymore, just like by Yom Kippur. Lo yochel basar v'lo yishte yayin besuda mafsek ba. Now you can't eat meat or drink wine during the Suda Mafsekes. Avol shosuhu yayin begiso sheish lo shlosh yamim apachos. So, but I can drink wine that hasn't quite fermented yet, kind of like grape juice that's been sitting out 3 days or less. Velcho basar meliach sheish lo shlosh yamim oyeser. I can eat salted meat that is that's been salted for 3 or more days. Lo yochel shnei tavshilin. But I should never eat two cooked dishes. Again, notice no mention of eggs and no mention of ashes. Halachaches, b'med dvar amurim, she'achol erev Tisha B'Av achar chatzos. So all the halachas of the Suda Mafsekes apply if I had that meal after chatzos and erev Tisha B'Av. Aval im sad kodem chatzos, but let's say I had my meal before chatzos, afa pishu masik ba ochol kol masha yirtze. So even though that was the meal he was going to end with, he's allowed to eat whatever he wants afterwards. V'erev Tisha B'Av she'chal lios b'Shabbos. Now, if erev Tisha B'Av comes down to Shabbos itself, Ochel v'shosa kol tzarcho. We don't minimize our own Shabbos. You eat whatever you want. Umala al shulchano afilu kusudas shlomo. You can have a feast if you want to. And also when Tisha B'Av itself falls on a Shabbos, which will then be Doche, we don't change our Oneg Shabbos whatsoever. Okay, now he's going to move into a little more specific things. Halacha says, Zuhi midos kol am she'enan yichon lisbol yeser midai. So everything that Rama mentioned is referring to the average Jew, right? Who basically, they can't take more of this suffering, okay? Of these halachas of so to speak, hilchos avelos. But the early sages, the righteous, the pious, this was their practice. So what would happen on Erev Tisha B'Av? Basically, this individual, this one of the Chasidim Rishonim, would take a piece of dried bread and salt, okay, and a little bit of water, right? The Yosha being Tana V'Kirayim, and he would sit between the oven and the range. Right, and he would eat and drink this little pitcher of water, and he would be worried and anxiety ridden and sad and crying, as if someone dead was lying right in front of him. And this is really what Chachamim should do, or something like this. And the Rambam says, in his time, they never ate on Erev Tisha B'Av any actual cooked dish, even a dashim, okay, unless it was Shabbos. So you see that they were a little more machmir upon themselves, even though you're allowed to have one tafshil, they even refrained from having a tafshil. Halacha Yud. Now, as we know, ubaros umanikos misanos mashlimos v'Tisha B'Av. So women who are pregnant or nursing must complete the fast of Tisha B'Av. It's prohibited to bathe yourself, whether it's with hot water or cold water. I can't even stick my finger into water for the purpose of washing it. And I can't anoint myself with oil. With a sandal, wearing leather shoes, with tashish shemitah, I can't have sexual relations. Anywhere where the minag is to do malacha, you're allowed to. And if you live in a place where the minhag is not to do malacha, you shouldn't do it. And of course, as we know, the chachamim avoided doing work. The amru chachamim shekola osibo malacha ena roa simen bracha lolam. Anyone who does malacha on Tisha B'Av will never see a bracha from his work. This happens by other holidays also, like Purim. Okay, halachah aleph. Okay, now talmid chachamim ein nosin zel zeh shalom Tisha B'Av. So talmid chachamim don't say hi to each other. Don't greet each other on Tisha B'Av. Ela yoshrim davim v'nei nechanu kavelim. What do? They sit like alone. They sit like in agony and frustration, like someone mourning. Then nasal hem amaret shalom. And if an amaret says hi to them, machzirin lo besafer rava v'kovid rosh. They respond back to them in like a very somber, serious way. V'aser likros b'Tisha B'Av v'toro obnevim obksuvim. Now you see a lot of avelus being expressed here. You're not allowed to learn Tanakh. Over Mishnah Velachos of the Talmud of Agados, basically all Torah is off the table. Vein Akore, but what can you learn? Ela be'iov, uve kinos, okay, uve dvarim harayim shemiryahu. So you basically have three things. You have Iov, right? You have Echa, which is what kinos refers to, and the bad things written in Yirmiyahu. V'tinoko shall base rabam b'talim bo. Basically, cheder is not open that day. Umiksas achamim, noagin shall aniach bo tefillin b'rosh. It's an amazing thing. There was some chachamim that did not wear just tefillin shel rosh, because again, that comes from that's a simon by avelus. Notice again, there is no, the Rambam does not cite any minug of not wearing tefillin the morning of Tisha B'Av. That's also a very later practice, okay, with some questionable origins. Okay, Malacha Yud Beis Mishachar. Okay, so now comes the last section. That's it for Tisha B'Av. Also, notice there's no mention of Asar B'Av. That minog of waiting until chatzots of the 10th of Av, the Rambam doesn't have it either. This is all the Rambam has on Tisha B'Av. Okay, now halacha yud beis. Now we get into the halachas that have to do with zecher lechorban, things that we're supposed to do to remember the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. So he says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, tiknu chachamim shahayu be'oso ador. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the sages of that generation made a takana. So they said you should never build a building, okay, like a house, whose walls are basically decorated with these like beautiful tapestries and stuff of that nature. That's the way like kings made it. So what do? You cover the walls of your home with mortar, you paint over it with lime, and you leave a space by the front door that's not basically painted in, okay? Empty. V'alokeh chatzar misyedes umuchuyares hare zubich hezkasa v'emechayvim oso l'kalev aksalam. Let's say I bought a chatzar where the walls already were like that, so I don't have to go ahead and strip this stuff off the walls. But when you build a new house, you're supposed to build it in a way where it's not, I mean, again, I'm not saying this halachically, but conceptually, where it's not too elaborate. It's supposed to be minimal in the artistic displays, the fancy design that it has. Halach Yud Gimel, and that's still done today. People still have, when they build houses, they leave an area of the house that's empty. Halach Yud Gimel, v'chein hiskinu sha'orech shulchan la'aso se'udo le'orchim. So when a person's having guests over and they're setting the table for the guests, mechasem imenu ma'at, right? So you don't do as much. You leave a little out. And how do you do that? Umeniach makam panoi. You set aside an empty area below ka'ara, minaka'aros, or rios losa sham. So, and then we'd be like missing a plate. And it's interesting. This is not done. I know this is done sometimes at chasnas. I do know that some people make sure that the caterer sets up that one table has a setting that's empty. But it's interesting that people don't do it in their homes today. The truth is that, I mean, it's a halacha. You know, when you have people over, you should always have one makom, like a chair, right? But no plate set up in front of it. Now, ukishaisa osa tachshite akesev azov. Now, when a woman has jewelry made for herself, mishayeris min mimine atachshit shenoheges behen. So what should she do? She should have, like, she should leave one piece of the jewelry out that she normally would have in there. Kidesh loya tachshit shalim. So I get, the best example is, imagine a woman was getting a bracelet made that had like, let's say 10, on a piece of 10 different kinds of jewels on it. So, or 10 spaces for jewels. She takes one out and only has 9 of the 10 are filled in. Now, I don't know any women who do that today. When a person gets married, okay, so what's supposed to happen? So the chassan is supposed to have a little bit of ash placed on his forehead, okay, and the makom where the tefillin goes. Notice that, by the way, comes from by the tainis tzibor. The same thing was going to take place. Also notice that the Rambam doesn't mention anything about breaking glasses. What I do find fascinating is that, and I try to do this at the weddings I've done, is ensure that the chassan does both. But certainly the afer is brought down from the Gemara. The glass is something else. All these are done to remember Yushlaim, Shinemar, Im Eshlechek, Yushlaim, Tishkach, Yimini, Tibakla, Shani, Lachi, Imo Eskreni, Imo Ale, Yushlaim, Al Rosh Simchasi. Okay, good. Malach Yudalad, also as well, and this is a little more controversial, certainly not accepted today. Vechain Gazu Shalola Nagin Bekle Shir, okay? So you're not allowed to play any musical instruments and sing songs to them. Vechom Mine Zemer, Vechom Mashmie Kol Shal Shir, so the Rama basically asers playing musical instruments and listening to music, okay, out according to the Rama. And again, this comes from the Gemara. The afilu shira bepel yayin asura. Even singing songs that are recited over wine, like festive songs that you recite over wine, asura shenemar. He quotes the pasuk shayo b'shir lo yishtu yayin. Ukvar nagu kol yisrael lomar divrei tishbachos oshir shahodos lekel chiyotzim hen al yayin. Now it's interesting, but the Rambam says he's not 100% endorsing it, but he's saying the minhag became that people started saying all sorts of words of praise to God in song style while they were holding wine. So that, I mean, he's not endorsing it, but he's saying this was done. But ideally, you shouldn't even do that. But certainly, to pick up a cup of wine and start singing some sort of festive song is prohibited to do. And again, the Rambam, it's pretty clear he has in his tshuva of the Rambam, he's even more machmir about it. But the Rambam paskin that listening to music today, even Jewish music, is a problem. Gazru al ataros chasanim shlonichum klal. These refer to these little these crowns that chasanim would wear. They weren't allowed to wear them. Ushlei niach chasan brosho shum klil as well. Also a similar thing to a crown. Shenemar haser mitznefes reim atara. V'chein gazru ataros kalos imayu shal kesev azav aval shagadil mutar lekala. Now by a kala, by a bride, she's not allowed to wear a crown made out of silver or gold, but you can make one that is made out of literally gedil, like from gedilim, from tzitzis, which means the knotted strings, twisted, intertwined strings, that should be allowed to do. Halacha tezayin. Okay, now comes another another zeichel mikdash stuff, but this is referring to the issue of kriya. Okay? As we all know, there's a halacha that when you see the chorban, you're supposed to tear your shirt. And the Rambam ends off the parak with these halachas. Halacha design, Mishara Ara Yehuda b'chorbanam. So if you see there's a big machlokus what this refers to, but the cities of Yehuda lying in their state of destruction, what do you say? Omer Ara Kachacha Yomidbar v'korea. You say this pasuk and then you do kriya, you tear. Ra Yushalayim b'chorbanah, and when you see Yushalayim in its state of being destroyed, Omer Yushalayim edaber. Beis HaMikdash b'chorbanah, when you see the temple in its state of being destroyed, Omer Beis Kachena v'tifarteno. And then v'korea, umehechan chayev likura minatzofim. So what point is a person obligated to now tear their clothing from tzofim, which is one mountainous area? Ukishyagia l'mikdash korea kara acher. So I already tore once when, let's say, I saw Yerushalayim in its state of destruction. When I get to the base of mikdash area, I got to tear again. V'impagav b'mikdash tchila, but let's say I hit the temple site first, kishyavu m'derech hamidbar, when I come from the desert side, Korei ala mikdash and mosif al Yerushalayim. Then I tear once for the mikdash and I add to it. I keep tearing down because of seeing Yerushalayim in a state of destruction. Halachi yitzayin, kolakrai ma'ilu, all right, kulam biyado. So every time you do one of these kriyas, one of these tearing your shirts, you have to do it with your hand, umad, and standing up. V'korea kol ksus she'alav ad she'galas libo. And you have to tear the shirt up to the point that your heart, your chest is revealed. That's the halacha. So some people sometimes make the mistake of wearing a shirt over a shirt and then only ripping the outer shirt. That's not the halacha. Now, it's a good question what an undershirt count says, and that's for a separate halacha. That's the Ram in the Hilchos Avos to take that up. But at this point, it's supposed to be on the innermost garment that you're wearing. You're not allowed to fix, to sew up these tears. However, Aval Rashahu, Lishlalon, Malon, Lakton, Lutafron, Kamin Sulamas. But you're allowed to basically hem them together, like glue them, I guess, back together, sew them like in a ladder pattern. You could do it in a way where it's not a strong repair, right? But you can't bring it back to what it was. Halach Yudches, Haya Hole Chuba L'Yushlaim, Hole Chuba, right? Im Tok Shloshim Yom, Eino Korea Kera Acher. So let's say someone goes Yushlaim a lot, okay? So what's the halacha? So it's only within 30 days. If you see Yushlaim within every 30 days, then you don't have to do another kriya. But if it's after 30 days, you must tear your shirt when you see the mikdash or Yerushalayim. And finally, lach yotes, kol hatzamos elu asidim livatli Moshe Mashiach. It's famous halacha. All these fast days are going to go ahead and be mivatal in the times of the Mashiach. V'lo od, not only that, elo sheim asidim liyosi yomim tovim. V'yimei sasa mesimcha. And not only that, which is a very interesting idea, a separate concept why this is the case, but not only are they not going to be sad days, but they're actually going to turn into happy days. Shenemar, Koamar, Shan Tzvako, Som Ravi, Som Chamishi, Som Shvi, Som Asiri, Yele Beis Yehuda, L'Sasson, L'Simcha, L'Modim Tovim, Ba'emes, Hashalom, Ehavu. So that's how he ends up Hilchos Tanios, to let us know that these four fast days are going to end up not just being getting rid of halachically, but to convert over to celebratory days.